You're listening to The Truth Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey friends, today we're continuing our How Stuff Works series. And today we're going to get a little bit personal. Last week we got theological when we talked about how the Trinity works. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Today is going to be more relational because we're going to talk about how toxic people work. Now, you probably know a toxic person. I'm sure that you have someone in your life who is toxic, but just in case you don't know what I'm talking about, just in case you kind of need a little refresher about what the common traits of toxic people are, let me just quickly list out 10 of them. A toxic person is manipulative. This is somebody who twists situations to serve their own interests, and they make others feel guilty or obligated sometimes in the process. Do you know someone who's manipulative? Or number two, toxic people can be controlling. They want to control decisions, conversations. They want to control people. A lot of times they resist compromise. So do you know somebody who's controlling? Or how about this third one? A toxic person is passive aggressive. So this is the person who, instead of being direct, they express anger or resentment through sarcasm or silence, you know, giving you the silent treatment or subtle digs. Do you know anyone who's passive aggressive? Number four, toxic people tend to be critical. So these are people who don't offer encouragement. They always nitpick, they shame you, they belittle your efforts or your choices. They're always critical and judgmental. That's a toxic person. Or the fifth trait, a toxic person is always blame shifting, always pointing fingers, never taking responsibility. They deflect blame. They play the victim when confronted. I know lots of people like this. These are toxic people. Or quality number six, they're dramatic. They thrive on conflict. They thrive on chaos. Somehow drama always follows toxic people. And in fact, it doesn't always follow them. Sometimes it starts with them. They create the drama. Or number seven, toxic people are dishonest. They lie, or they hide the truth, or they distort facts to protect themselves or to manipulate people around them. And how about this eighth trait? Toxic people are jealous. So they don't celebrate with others. Instead, they're always competing. They're always comparing. They're always resenting other people's success or happiness. It's more than being competitive. I mean, they're being like jealous. They can't stand when somebody else has what they can't have. Trait number nine, toxic people can be emotionally draining. So whenever you're around them, you're exhausted or you're anxious or uneasy because they drain you emotionally. They suck the life right out of you. This is a toxic person. And the last trait is that they lack empathy. So they're not going to show concern for others' feelings. They dismiss the emotional needs of other people. Maybe they just go right through your boundaries. They have no empathy. Now, these are just 10 traits, and we could probably spend the next 20, 30 minutes like listing out more traits of toxic people. But I think you get the point. I think every single one of us knows people who, maybe not people who check every single one of these boxes, but who check many of these boxes. In fact, even as I listed this, I wonder if you're thinking about yourself. You know, it's easy to think about other people and point fingers, but remember, that's what a toxic person does. I don't want you to just think about other people as we go through this episode. I want you to think also about yourself, because the truth is, we're all just a little bit toxic. I mean, the Bible says that we're all born into sin. So nobody's perfect. Now, I don't want you to just focus on yourself, because I think for many of you listeners, there are genuinely toxic people in your life that you need to learn how to set some boundaries up around. And we're going to get to all that today. But don't just think about that. Think about your own life as well. Look into the mirror and say, God, how can I learn from some of these things in my life? How can I be less toxic with people around me? So with all of that in mind, I want to dive into an Old Testament story, a story about one of the most toxic figures in the Bible. When I think about toxic people in the Bible, this guy comes to mind. His name is King Saul. So Saul, if you know the story, Saul was Israel's first king. He was anointed by God. He was chosen by the people, and he was filled with potential. I mean, Saul was a total stud. On the outside, you'd think this guy is a total stud. It says that he was a head taller than everybody. He was good looking, and he was just chosen to be the king. But instead of leading with humility and faith, over time, if you go back and read Saul's story, you'll learn that he became a toxic leader, and his life was driven by jealousy and fear and manipulation and obsession. So many of these traits that we just went over. And especially, he felt this way toward a young guy named David. Now, you probably know David more than you know Saul. David was the guy who slayed Goliath the giant, famously, as a young boy. David was the guy that eventually would take over Saul's job. So Saul was the first king of Israel. David was his replacement, the second king of Israel. And this is one of the reasons that Saul was so toxic toward David. Now, today, we're going to look at four truths about toxic people. More than just traits. We've already looked at 10 traits of toxic people. But what we're going to do today is look at four truths about toxic people through the story of Saul. In other words, we're going to see insights about how toxic people work, what drives them, how it relates to spiritual warfare, where their heads are at through the whole thing, and where they're going to end up if it's left unchecked in their life. And by the end, we're going to show you, as we kind of look at the, this is going to be quick, but we're going to look at the story of Saul and David, and we're going to show you the right response to a toxic person, because we learned two lessons from David, young David. This is before he's the king. We're going to learn two lessons from David about how he responds to Saul's toxic behavior. So open your Bibles. We're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 18, and we're going to kind of jump around a little bit. We're going to cover a lot of chapters. We're going to go all the way to chapter 31. But I want to encourage you, in fact, maybe just to, if you have some time, to go back and read this whole thing, because we're going to leave out a lot of the context and a lot of the details as we try to get through this in about 30 minutes or so. Let's start with these four truths about Saul and how he functioned as a toxic person. The first thing is this: toxic people are driven by insecurity. I don't know if you've ever met somebody like this. It's not always obvious. A lot of times it's beneath the surface. In fact, I've noticed in my own life that it can even be people who seem to have it all together. Everything looks perfect on the outside. Maybe even especially in their social profiles. Everything looks perfect. So how can they be so toxic? How could they possibly be driven by insecurity? But this is just the way it works. In fact, this is how it worked in Saul's life. I already mentioned it. Saul was tall. He was good looking. He was a full Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, Saul was a stud. You would have picked Saul first, you know, on the playground for kickball. He was one of those kinds of guys. But yet, underneath it all, Saul had this nagging insecurity. And we see it in 1 Samuel 18, starting at verse 6. It says this: "When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine," talking about Goliath the giant, it says, "women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals." And this was their song, verse 7. "Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Okay, so just pause there for a second and think about this from Saul's perspective. Well, even just think about it from your perspective. Like, what does that trigger for you? Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands? Like, for an insecure person, this is going to set you off. An insecure person isn't going to celebrate with David. I mean, Saul is a guy who benefits from David. I mean, David solved a major problem. If you remember the story of the Philistines, and remember Goliath had been taunting the Philistines, and nobody had the courage to face Goliath until David, this young shepherd boy, he wasn't even like a soldier yet in the army. this young shepherd boy goes up against David with a slingshot and five smooth stones, if you remember that story. And he takes David, young David, the boy David, takes out Saul's enemy. David solves Saul's problem. I mean, I just want to make sure that you remember this. David solves a major problem for Saul. So you would think that a normal person, a healthy person, would be like, thanks, David. Man, that was a huge help. You're the best. But that's not Saul's response. It says, Saul was made very angry by this song that elevated David above Saul. And Saul said, what's this? They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. Do you see the jealousy? Do you see what's going on here in Saul's heart, in Saul's mind? We're pulling back the curtain on Saul. And verse 9 says this, so from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. This is one of the traits we mentioned at the beginning, jealousy. Instead of celebrating, what is Saul doing here? He's comparing, he's competing, he's resenting the success of David, even though it benefited him. Even though, as we're going to see from David's story, David's not trying to be a competitor. David's not trying to take over the throne. David's just like this innocent guy. Maybe this is how you feel in relationship to some of the people who are toxic in your life. Like, you're just doing your thing and they're jealous of you. What is that about? Well, friends, I want you to hear this. It's not about you. It's about their insecurity. They don't recognize who they are. They don't have a sense of their own self-worth. You know, where does our self-worth come from, by the way? According to the Bible, our self-worth comes from God himself. The Bible says that every single one of us is made in the image of God. We're image bearers of God. That gives us value and worth and honor and dignity. Now, there are some people who think that their efforts give them value and worth and dignity. Some people think that praise of others is what gives them value and worth. They don't have an intrinsic sense that we're created in the image of God. And even though we're not, you know, all equally gifted, certainly that's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not reality. We are all equally created in the image of God. This is what gives us value and worth. So for those of you, by the way, who recognize your own insecurity, and maybe you haven't recognized that it's made you toxic, I just want to warn you, insecurity will lead to toxicity. If you don't address the underlying issue of your sense of worthlessness, your lack of value to the world, if you're not already toxic, you're going to become the toxic person like we see in Saul's life. I mean, I wish if Saul had somebody healthy in his life, like a mentor in his life, who could pull him aside and say, Saul, man, hold on a second, back off. You're going down a scary path here. Let's just celebrate with David. He's not out to get you. He's not trying to take over the throne in your place. I just wonder if Saul had like a healthy person in his life helping him to recognize this insecurity, maybe we wouldn't be talking about Saul right now, but we are, because Saul didn't celebrate with David. Saul instead was insecure about it. And from that time on, he kept a jealous eye on David. And that leads us to the second truth from Saul's story. Toxic people are used by the enemy. Now, I don't say this to point fingers. I'm saying it because I want to pull back the curtain on this. I want to help you understand that there's more to the story than what you might think. It's not just a bunch of relational traits. You know, it's not just a bunch of things that are true about toxic people. I want you to understand that this can very clearly be a form of spiritual warfare. Let me try to explain this. What does Jesus want for you and your relationships? He wants whole, healthy people. He said, I have come to give people life and give it to the full, but the enemy, Satan, has come to steal and kill and destroy. So what is Jesus saying? The enemy wants the opposite of what Jesus wants. Jesus is at work in healthy people, in healthy relationships. The enemy, Satan, is at work in toxic people. I want you to hear that. Now, that doesn't mean that toxic people are satanic, but I want you to hear this. Toxic people are used by the enemy, and we see it in the story. 1 Samuel 19, verses 9 through 10, it says, "One day when Saul was sitting at home with spear in hand, the tormenting spirit from the Lord suddenly came upon him. As David played his harp, Saul hurled his spear at David. But David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, David fled and escaped into the night." Now think about what's happening here. So David is already being sung about by all the people, the women especially. Saul is jealous because David is getting more attention than Saul is getting. Now David is serving Saul in his courts. David isn't just a warrior. He isn't just good with a slingshot. Apparently David is one of these guys who's good at everything, right? Maybe you're jealous of those guys too, but David is one of these guys who's good at everything. So now he's playing a harp. He's singing a song. Like, this guy is gifted. David is gifted. And what does it do for Saul? Like, it makes him even more mad. And he happens to have a spear in his hand, and he throws the spear at David. And probably David is better at spear throwing than Saul is, because Saul misses David, or maybe David is just better. He's able to dodge out of the way. So there's another thing David's good at. He's athletic on top of it all. But what I want you to focus on in this story is that Saul was tormented by a spirit from the Lord. It says a tormenting spirit from the Lord came upon him. What in the world does this mean? Let me try to break this down. Let me try to explain this to you. See, Saul previously, go back to 1 Samuel 15, Saul had rejected God's authority. This is kind of the backdrop to this whole thing. God had anointed Saul as king, but Saul rejected God's authority. Saul rebelled against God. And so God removed his spirit of blessing and protection from Saul. Go back to 1 Samuel 16. So go back and read this. 1 Samuel 15, 1 Samuel 16. And so this is what I think is happening here. This is my best guess. A lot of the commentators talk about this as well. God removed his spirit of blessing and protection from Saul and allowed a tormenting spirit, probably a demonic force, to influence him. And we see this just over and over in Saul's story. So this was not God being evil. So you can't say like, well, God's the one who created this. You know, it says it was a tormenting spirit from the Lord. I think it's better to think of it as a form of discipline or judgment on Saul's life. It kind of reminds me of Romans 1:28, where it says, "Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done." So Romans 1 is talking about a similar kind of judgment, that God removes his hand of blessing and he abandons them to their own fate. Or it reminds me of 1 Timothy 1, verses 19 and 20, where Paul says this to Timothy, "Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked." In fact, Paul goes on in 1 Timothy 1, verse 20, to name names. He says, "Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God." Now, I think what Paul is talking about with Hymenaeus and Alexander, and what Paul is talking about in Romans 1 with people in general who have been abandoned to their foolish thinking, I think it's the same thing that's happening here when an evil spirit, a tormenting spirit from the Lord, comes upon Saul. I think it is a demonic force. I think it's spiritual warfare that is the result of God releasing his hand and basically handing Saul over to the enemy and The enemy then causes Saul to try to kill David. This tormenting spirit stirred up in Saul fear and jealousy and rage. And so instead of turning back to God in repentance, Saul sinks deeper and deeper into madness and violence. And this, to me, is a perfect picture of how toxic people are used by the enemy. Now, I think we need to be careful with this. I don't think you need to now think that that person who's toxic in your life is demon possessed. That's not what's going on. I think demon possession is real, but that's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is the enemy wants to steal and kill and destroy, and he is going to use toxic people. Just like Jesus wants to use healthy people to create healthy boundaries and relationships and to bless people, the enemy wants to use unhealthy, toxic people, and they are pawns in his hand to create destruction and all of this stuff that we listed off at the beginning of the episode. Think back to some of those traits and just think about how evil these things are and how we see the enemy, Satan himself, in the Bible reflecting some of these traits. Manipulative, twisting situations to serve their own interests. We're going to see that more in just a little bit. Controlling, demanding control over decisions and conversations and even trying to control people or being critical and judgmental. This is from the enemy. Not offering encouragement, nitpicking and shaming and belittling. This is what Satan is all about. He loves to do this. Or how about blaming others? Never taking responsibility, deflecting blame, playing the victim when confronted. We see this over and over. Who are these traits associated with? Not with God. They're associated with Satan, with the enemy. Think about how this is the opposite of godly traits. One of the best ways to think about godly traits, healthy traits, is to think about the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all the opposite of manipulative, controlling, passive-aggressive, critical, blame-shifting, dramatic, dishonest, jealous, emotionally draining, lacking empathy. It's the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. The Spirit is at work in followers of Jesus. Satan is at work in toxic people. This should be alarming to us. In fact, if you're listening to this and you are a follower of Jesus, but you recognize that you have a lot of these toxic traits in your own life, my encouragement to you is to hit your knees and repent and confess and go to God and say, help me to walk in the Spirit. Help me to follow the fruit of the Spirit because I recognize that I'm more characterized by toxic traits, which are from the enemy, than by godly spiritual traits that are from God himself, from the Holy Spirit, living and working in me and through me. Okay, so what do we have so far from the story of Saul? We have number one, that toxic people are driven by insecurity. Number two, toxic people are used by the enemy. And here's the third thing. Toxic people believe their own lies. I want you to hear this because if you know toxic people, or maybe even if you are looking in the mirror and recognizing this about yourself, toxic people believe their own lies. They go from bad to worse because they get deeper and deeper into their own manipulation and lies. 1 Samuel 22, verses 7 to 8. And this is after David, who had been on the run from Saul for many chapters. This is after David had returned to Judah. Saul said, "Listen here, you men of Benjamin." He's talking to his officers when he heard the news. He says, "Has that son of Jesse," talking about David, "promised every one of you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you all generals and captains in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you told me when my own son," talking about his son Jonathan, "made a solemn pact with the son of Jesse. You're not even sorry for me, Think of it, my own son, encouraging him to kill me as he is trying to do this very day. Now, the reason I wanted to read this passage, and again, I encourage you to go back and read the fuller context of this, is because I think it is such a perfect example of where Saul's toxicity had gotten him. He's going from bad to worse, and we see here how manipulative he is. He's twisting the situation to serve his own interests. He's trying to make his officers, who are faithful to him, by the way, he's trying to make them feel guilty. He's blaming other people. He's blaming his own son, Jonathan, not just David, but even Jonathan. And he's dishonest. He's actually lying. He's distorting the facts. He's manipulating the facts. He's gaslighting here. None of this was true. Jonathan was for his father. Jonathan loved his father. David was for Saul. David was generous towards Saul, and David wanted to bless Saul. David wasn't trying to usurp Saul. So it's almost like we get a picture into the thinking of a toxic person. And maybe you know some people like this. I know some people like this who don't even know what's true anymore. And I don't even know if Saul recognizes that he's lying. I think it has gotten so bad in his own head that he can't even tell truth from lies. It reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, he's speaking to these Pharisees, these religious people who had been so duped by the enemy. He says, you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does. Some of the most toxic people in the New Testament were the Pharisees, these religious leaders who were supposed to be helping the people, but they were actually hurting the people. Jesus said to them, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Look, Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies, and toxic people always end up lying. They always end up manipulating, twisting, gaslighting, and this is from the enemy. And again, I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you have enough sense to recognize that you can be like this as well. Again, I know that some of you are listening to this because you have toxic people in your world and you want to understand how they work and what drives them. But some of you are listening to this because you are the toxic person and you need to acknowledge this. One of the best things you could do is just, again, hit your knees and say, God, help me to understand the truth. Lead me to the truth. Show me the manipulation in my own heart. Show me the blame shifting that I've done, the gaslighting that I've done, the lies that I've told others or even myself. Help me to be truthful. Help me to be honest. I think that if Saul had somebody, even at this point, by chapter 22, many chapters into his dysfunction, I think if he had somebody in his life who was able to pull him aside and help him with this and speak truth to him, who knows, maybe he would have changed. Maybe we wouldn't be talking about Saul, but Saul didn't repent. Saul didn't hit his knees. Saul did believe his own lies. And here's what happened as a result. And it's the fourth truth about toxic people. Toxic people, if left unchecked, will inevitably destroy themselves. To see it in Saul's life, we have to skip all the way to chapter 31. And this is when the Philistines are in battle with the Israelites. It says that they attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. And the fighting grew very fierce around Saul, and the Philistine archers caught up with him and wounded him severely. Verse 4, Saul groaned to his armor bearer, take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to run me through and taunt and torture me. But his armor bearer was afraid and wouldn't do it, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer realized that Saul was dead, he fell on his own sword and died beside the king. And verse 6 says this, this is so interesting. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and his troops all died together that same day. Look at how Saul's story ends. In fact, it's more than that he destroyed himself. It's that his sons died, his armor bearer died, and his troops, everyone died together that same day. It's a picture of what happens when you hang around toxic people. And this is why it's so important to pay attention to this last part of the episode, is to understand how David responded to Saul's toxicity, because David didn't die. David wasn't one of the people there surrounding Saul, dying on the battlefield with Saul. Even though David was faithful to Saul, David didn't lose his life as a result of this. And I see, when I look at the story, I see two things that David did that we also can do when we're responding to toxic people. And the first thing is not to take revenge. David actually had two chances in the story. Go back and read it for yourself. He had two chances in the story to take the easy road and eliminate the threat that Saul was as a toxic person. But in both cases, he refused to do it. One of them is here in chapter 26, verses 23 and 24. It says, "The Lord gives his own reward," David talking, "the Lord gives his own reward for doing good and for being loyal, and I refuse to kill you even when the Lord placed you in my power, for you are the Lord's anointed one." Verse 24, "Now may the Lord value my life even as I have valued yours today. May he rescue me from all my troubles." See, David trusted God to handle the situation. David didn't take the situation in his own hands. In other words, David didn't take revenge. It reminds me of Romans 12, verse 18 in the New Testament. It says, "Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone." This is what David did all throughout the story. He did everything he could to live in peace with Saul, even though Saul kept hunting him down and trying to kill him. In fact, I remember reading this story when I was a young man, and I just was like, "David, why didn't you just kill him? Why didn't you just eliminate him? It seemed like it would have been so much easier to do that." But David refused to. David showed incredible patience and forbearance. He kept giving Saul chance after chance to repent, even though Saul refused to do it. So step number one, if you have toxic people in your life, don't take revenge. Don't fight toxic with toxic. Pray for them. Ask God to do a work in their heart that you can't do for them. You can't make someone be less toxic. You can encourage, you can admonish, but you can't force anyone to be less toxic. Pray for them. But don't fight toxic with toxic. And here's the second thing. There's only two things I see in David's response, but these are really, really helpful. The second way to respond to toxic people is learn to walk away. In David's case, he actually had to run away, right? Because he was being hunted. In your case, sometimes you just need to walk away. In fact, there's a great book. I'll put it in the show notes. It's called When to Walk Away by Gary Thomas. And I want you to understand this. Walking away is not a failure. He talked about this in his book. It is an act of faith. Sometimes the most Christ-like thing you can do is just step away. Don't engage. Don't be around that toxic person anymore. Don't try to please them. People pleasers are easy targets for toxic people. Don't be that. Don't be an easy target. Don't try to fix them. It's not your job to fix them. You can't do it anyway, even if you tried. Don't try to control them. If you try too hard to control them, you might be the toxic one, right? Because toxic people are controlling people. So don't do it. Just walk away. This is what David did over and over. Let's just show you a couple more places. 1 Samuel 19:10, Saul hurled his spear at David. We already saw this. But David dodged out of the way, and leaving the spear stuck in the wall, he fled and escaped into the night. That was the first time that he ran and fled, and he was on the run for 9 chapters, all the way up to chapter 27, verse 1. David kept thinking to himself, it says, "Someday Saul is going to get me. The best thing I can do is escape to the Philistines, and then Saul will stop hunting for me in Israelite territory, and I'll finally be safe." He just kept escaping. He just kept walking away. Another name for this, set a boundary. Sometimes you just need to set a boundary. You don't try to engage. At a certain point, you don't try to engage with toxic people anymore. You just walk away. And I want to end today with one more passage from the New Testament. I know we've been in the Old Testament this whole time, mostly with Saul and David and their story. But I mentioned earlier in the episode, I talked about this guy, Alexander. Remember that from 1 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul talks about Hymenaeus and Alexander, these two people who were like toxic people. They were shipwrecking their faith. And so Paul had handed them over to Satan. Well, Paul actually talks about Alexander again in 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 and 15. Now, we don't know for sure that it's the same Alexander, but I think it is, because it sounds like that same toxic person. And here's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. He says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but the Lord will judge him for what he has done." He says in verse 15, "Be careful of him, for he fought against everything we said." What is Paul saying there? Paul is talking about setting up a boundary. He's essentially saying, get away from him. I did. Paul's not engaged with him anymore. Paul had handed him over to Satan. For some of you, if you're dealing with the toxic person in your world, and you've done everything to try to help them, and they continue to be toxic towards you, and it continues to drain you emotionally, I want to give you permission today to walk away. Let God handle it. Don't try to please them. Don't try to fix them. Don't try to control them. Pray for them and hand it over to God. Because at the end of the day, toxic people destroy not only themselves, but they destroy the people in their circle of influence. So you need to get away from that influence. That's how toxic people work. And that's how you should handle them if you want to be like Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.